ABC Radio Australia.
Now, this week, frankly, is as busy as any I can remember for soccer in Oceania, with the two tournaments, one at club and one at international level, being played in Honiara and Nuku'alofa. And in addition, four of the region's top seven FIFA-ranked men's teams, Solomon Islands, Fiji, Papua New Guinea and Vanuatu, are involved in a series of international friendly matches. After losing 2-1 to Solomon Islands in Honiara on Monday, Fiji got their revenge in the second game, winning at 2-0 yesterday. Vanuatu are playing right now in their opening game against Guinea in the new FIFA series. It's not going too well, unfortunately, and PNG, they'll play their first match against that host nation, Sri Lanka, in Colombo later today. Meanwhile, tomorrow sees the final of the OFC Women's Champions League, and Cook Islands will be taking on Samoa in a crucial Men's Nations Cup qualifying game. So, plenty of action for Michael Wood, competition's media officer for OFC, to cast his eye over. He joins us on Pacific Beats. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me.
So the Women's Champions League, first up, the grand final tomorrow, Auckland United versus Hikari United, New Zealand versus Papua New Guinea. Now, I think it's fair to say that history tells us that when a New Zealand side makes the final of an OFC competition, it's usually a question of how much they're going to win by. But I think this time that's not the case, is it? This whole tournament has been very tight, and Auckland United have had to work extremely hard to make it to the grand final.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's been fantastic so far. It's only the second edition of the Women's Champions League following last year's inaugural event. Eight teams up from the five we had last year. And yeah, you're right, the two sides, Hikari United and Auckland United, two deserving finalists, but they've been made to work, both of them. Auckland United had to take extra time against Tafia from Vanuatu in their semi-final, and Hikari United as well went to extra time with Lambasa Women FC from Fiji. So it's a difficult one to call, which is great for us. You know, we obviously want these competitions to be as tight, as competitive as possible. And so far, this has been very difficult to call. So we're very much looking forward to the final tomorrow. And it's going to be, very difficult to call a winner.
And we're now in a situation where many, many more matches in the Oceania Confederation are being streamed live, including all the games at the Women's Champions League. So these players are very much in the shop window. And just watching Auckland play at Tafia the other day, I mean, there are a couple of players in that Tafia side, it seems to me, it would be well worth, for example, the A-League women's teams over here in Australia having a look at them. There's some serious talent in these teams.
There is, yeah, absolutely. As you said, now that all of our tournaments are streamed live and free on FIFA Plus, that sort of opens that window to even more people across the world who will be watching football in Oceania, and the talent that we have here, especially in the women's game. I think obviously that's growing and developing at a fantastic rate. A lot of these women, and you mentioned in Tafia, but I thought the semi-final between Hikari and Labasa was a fantastic sort of display of the quality that these teams have. So yeah, the more opportunities that these players have to perform in front of a bigger audience can only be a positive for their potential career aspirations.
And Auckland United, I think they've only been in existence for about 4 years, so new kids on the block, really. I mean, would you expect them to start this match as favourites? Or, I mean, personally, I think it's pretty too close to call.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Maybe, perhaps, if you had to call a favourite, but it would be a very slight favourite. Hikari United have been impressive, and you know, women's teams from Papua New Guinea generally, whether it's club teams or other national teams, do tend to do very well. They tend to be very aggressive, very strong sides. So, yeah, I think if you had to pick, maybe Auckland, but I mean, it would be very difficult to really go one way or the other, I think.
Now, to the Men's Nations Cup, we have a qualifying round going on at the moment. Samoa beat Tonga 4-1 in the opening match of the series. They play Cook Islands next, and then the final match of the three, we'll see the Cooks take on Tonga. So at the moment, Samoa very much in pole position. But is that the way you would see it too? I mean, Cook Islands, the kind of, we don't really know what to expect from them, I think, because they're under a new coach in Jess Ibrom, and they've been looking to recruit from the diaspora around the world, essentially. So maybe they could pull off a surprise against the Samoans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cook Islands are an interesting example. Obviously, one of our smaller member associations, but they do tend, both in the men's and the women's game, to punch above their weight, I think would be fair to say. And when you've got these qualifying tournaments of only three teams, where, as you said, one result can really make a difference, you go from thinking, you know, that Samoa are in the box seat, and then if there's a bit of a surprise and they drop points there to the Cook Islands, it opens it all up for that final match. And especially for Samoa, because, you know, this is their final match. If they were to lose to Cook Islands, then they have a very nervous wait for that final match day three next week.
Now, there are only three teams taking part in this qualifier. I mean, historically, there have always been four, the fourth team being American Samoa. I mean, do you know why they're not there?
No, I think it's a difficult one. You know, obviously, American Samoa is one of our smaller member associations. We appreciate that there's considerable challenge for some of these teams to be able to participate in events from a logistics standpoint, but also, you know, being able to source players to put together a squad. We did have the women's team, the American Samoa women's team, competing in the Olympic qualifier in Samoa in February, which was great. Obviously, from our perspective, we would love to have all of our member associations participating in every possible competition, but we know it's just not the case. And you know, we're happy with that we've got the eight for this, the seven plus the qualifying winner. But you know, going forward, at every opportunity, you know, we're doing everything we can to ensure that as many of our member associations participate, whether it's men's football, women's futsal, beach soccer, whatever it may be.
And in terms of doing what can be done, FIFA appear to be going that extra mile now with this new FIFA series that they've created. And then we've got two of the Pacific teams involved in what is a pilot series of matches really being played in various places around the world. Papua New Guinea will be playing Sri Lanka in Colombo a little later today. And Vanuatu are in action right now, in fact, in Saudi Arabia, taking on Guinea. It's tough for them. I mean, Guinea are ranked 76 in the world, Vanuatu 170, and Vanuatu, or Vanuatu, as the commentator insists on calling them, are currently 6-0 down. It was looking like they would get absolutely hammered. They have recovered somewhat from losing shipping goals earlier in the game. But I guess the point about this is that this match is taking place at all, and that we have to start somewhere in giving Pacific nations a chance to play outside the region.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the main thing. You know, we would love for these teams to get positive results, but you know, there's not too many opportunities for our member associations to play international friendlies outside of OFC. So the opportunity to do that, and it's not just the teams that they're playing, it's everything that's involved playing in different environments, can only be a positive thing for these players and their development and for their FAs. So, you know, as the years go on, as this series progresses, we'll obviously hope for positive results for our teams. But at the moment, it's about giving them this experience that previously they wouldn't have had too much of.
And there was a local match, as it were. Well, in fact, there have been two this week involving Solomon Islands taking on Fiji in Honiara. And curious pair of results, because the first game saw Solomon Islands playing what their coach, Felipe Vega Arango, described as the youngest side ever to play for Solomon Islands at senior international level. And then he played his more experienced players in the second match. He won the first. He lost the second, with Fiji playing more or less the same side. I mean, that's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? You would have expected those senior Solomons players to have carried on as they have in recent times, doing rather well and pushing the side up the world rankings.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to friendly matches, it's always a little bit difficult to call, especially when there's so much changing in terms of the squad and the starting 11. And I'm sure coaches would have an eye towards the Nations Cup in June. So I don't think it's ever quite as simple as sort of looking at, you know, who the starting 11 is for each side. And there might be a favourite. You might be able to lean one way or the other. But especially when you've got two matches in quite quick succession as well, I think it throws up the possibility for potentially surprising results. But it was positive to see that both results were close. I thought, as you said, Solomon Islands playing at home would have been seen as the favourites. They're one of the more sort of attacking sides that we see in this part of the world. They're very enjoyable to watch. But yeah, Fiji responded well. So it was good to see a bit of a balance there in terms of the results.
And for Felipe Vega Arango, I mean, unless he changes his mind, I mean, that was his last game in charge of the Solomons national side. He said he will be leaving at the end of his contract. He won't be coaching at the OFC Nations Cup later in the year. And one of the reasons he says that's persuaded him to go is the negativity from fans in Solomon Islands. And when you look at what he's achieved, and Solomon Islands are now ranked the second highest Pacific team behind New Zealand, you can kind of see his point, really, can't you? I mean, he must be somewhat frustrated after, I think, the team has won something like 11 out of its last 13 games.
Yeah, I think that's the nature of football. Wherever you are in the world, fans are always very demanding. Solomon Islands, we know, is incredibly passionate football country. When we engage with fans across the region, they're one of the most vocal and passionate, which is great to see. But I think football fans, whether you're in the Pacific or Europe, South America, wherever, they're never quite satisfied, and it's very challenging for our member associations that aren't New Zealand. There's always that challenge, that sort of the level that they want to reach and aspire to. I think that's just the nature of football fans, is unless you're winning every single match, unless you're winning every single tournament you're involved in, then there's going to be a section of fans that I don't think will ever be truly satisfied.